Okay, guys. Good afternoon. Hey, let's get started. Pastor Reeder found out today. Last week when he left, I had a reminder on my phone to ask him if he'd be here this week. And he told me he would because he had an accountability group that he met with and they had changed their date. So he was going to be here. And then I also had an accountability group this morning that I was meeting with, and we were in prayer, and my phone started blowing up, as we say. And lo and behold, he's not able to be here. He had an appointment that he and his secretary got conflicted, and he's having to do that. But he misses you guys. He told me, please be sure you let him know that he'll miss being with you guys, and that next week we will do 5 and 6 in our confession. So if you want to look ahead, go ahead, read ahead, and be prepared for that. So I went to my computer. What are some talks that I've done in the past? And found this one. It's rather long. I've got a lot of sheets. So I'm going to try to rush through it. But I think I feel like the Lord led me here to give this talk, to challenge us. It's not on the catechisms. I'm not going to be teaching on the Westminster Confession. But we're going to be looking at 4 promises of God. And I hope it's encouraging to you. I hope it's challenging to you. I know it will be for me. And may the Lord be glorified in it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we're glad. We have joy. We have peace. We have gratitude because you have saved us. And you've given us life here on earth, but eternal life in promise. One day we'll be with you, and all the things that we struggle with here in this world will pass away, and we'll have great joy in your presence. So thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for saving us from our sins. Lord, we just acknowledge we have nothing to do with that. It's all your work, Lord Jesus, on the cross, where you paid the penalty for our sin. So we rejoice with gratitude for that truth. Lord, none of us, we're all equal at the foot of the cross, and we're all thankful for your great love and commitment to us. So Lord, bless me, speak through me today, challenge each of this, and I ask this and pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One other thing I wanted to mention is really appreciate Caleb. I'm not sure if he's in here, but he's been the one serving us and taking care of us. And so he's not going to be here after this week. He's taking another job and we're going to miss him. So just let him know that when on your way out, but thankful for Caleb. All right. So the 4 promises of God and the point that ultimately we're trying to get at is that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. So the first promise is God always keeps his promises. That may sound like an oxymoron, may sound silly. But God always keeps his promises. How we think of God makes all the difference to how we view his promises, right? Well, if we didn't see him as a promise keeper, then his promises may be, you know, maybe not matter or mean so much to us. But he always keeps his promises, and his promises are awesome, right? And they're meant for our good, and so we're thankful for that. So God's promises are always kept. I was talking to my son. He's now 17 years old. I was talking to him when he was 10. And he was asking me about a promise that I had made or something I had told him that I wasn't able to quite follow through with at the moment. And he was asking me why people don't keep their promises. And man, that hit at my heart because I couldn't do that for him. But as I was thinking back on that in comparison to God and how he keeps promises, I was thinking, what are some of the reasons why people don't keep their promises? Well, here are a few that I put down. I'm sure you can think of plenty yourself. One, I think people are lazy. I think I'm lazy. Often I don't keep my promises because sometimes I make it just to put that person off to buy time because I really don't want to do what they're asking me to do. You know, and I think about the situation with my son in that regard. It was something he wanted to do. Well, we'll do it on Saturday, you know. You have my word, you know. And we just flat out lie. We're lazy. Sometimes we forget. We neglect to do it. And sometimes it just comes down to the simplicity that we can't, right? We can't. Maybe we can't afford it. Maybe we plan to and we had the money set aside to do something and then lo and behold, something else happens and it takes priority and we can't do that. Right? So there are things that prevent us as humans from keeping our promise. But what does God tell us about doing what we say that we ought to do? Right? He says that we shouldn't make promises. That's why a lot of times when I send you guys emails about meeting, I'll say, Lord willing. Right? Lord willing. There's a key caveat there. I can't tell you we'll see each other if it snows unannounced and we can't make it. Right? And that's happened for this study before. It's been years back, but I remember standing in Pastor Reader's office about to head down to the study and saying, Pastor, man, they're saying it's about to snow and it's about to get bad. I think I need to call the study. And he said, No, don't do that. Oh, you know, we can do it. I'm gonna be down. I said, well, Pastor, I think I got to. And he said, well, I'll be down there if somebody wants to come. And lo and behold, it was when it Armageddon. I mean, when all snowmageddon, when all the roads froze over and hundreds of people got stuck at the church. And no, I don't think he showed up because I told him that the restaurant had closed. And so he said, well, I won't go either. So he had an out. He had a good out. So this is challenging. It's challenging to have integrity and honesty. And I think that's one of the beautiful things by way of what God said, you know. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. But we do have the ability to say, Lord willing. And that speaks volumes because it says it's always up to God. It's always up to the sovereignty of God. But let me read some scripture because I want to bring the word into this. Matthew 5:34-37 says, but I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black, or you can't keep them in your head. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So, you know, we answer questions when people ask to do something. We say, yes, Lord willing, you know, or no, I can't do that. We don't need to make promises. We're not in the same position as God in his ability to do that. God's not lazy. God doesn't lie. We forget and neglect, but God doesn't do that. And here's one thing that I think is critically important that we understand. He doesn't do that, and he can't do that. Right? And we'll look at a passage here in a little bit. Numbers 23:19. It's one of the obscure verses that I memorized years back because it's such a wonderful verse. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I mean, y'all, that's the God that we serve. He says he's going to do it. He does it. Okay? Great verse, Numbers 23:19. And then also Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Okay? That leads you to understand what situation I'm talking about. You know, Abraham, Sarah laughs. God tells Abraham he's going to have a son, and from that son's going to come a great nation. Sarah laughs because she's how old? She's old, right? And he's old. And yet it happens. God's promises are always for our good. That's another point that I want to make. Can anyone think of a verse or passage that would drive this point home? About God's promises always being good and for our good. Thank you. I asked that question because I knew somebody would answer it. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So, you know, when we feel like the world's coming unraveled, which I don't know about you, but I feel like that a lot of times here lately, God's sovereign. God's in control. And in our lives individually, maybe when your health's going bad or your finances are going bad, and we feel like in our home, in our house, with our lives, the world's coming unraveled. Maybe it is. But God's still sovereign, and He's got a perfect plan for our lives. And He promises that it'll be for our good, right? It may not always feel good at the moment, but it's always for our good. That refining fire is always for our good. Next point I want to make is God's promises are awesome. So what are some of God's promises? To supply for our everyday need. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Man, what a promise. What a promise that God's made for us, that He'll take care of us. Right? Inflation is 1,000%, it seems like, nowadays. But God promises to continually take care of us, to meet that need. When it seems like the obstacle, I'll give you one illustration. This is very silly, and I recognize that. But my son at school had a bill that was due, and we had no way of paying it. Just here recently, okay, and just didn't have the money for it. And we've had a young man living with us, one of my other son's friends. And one of the things that we gave him a real cheap rent to live with us, sometimes zero. But we said to him, hey, we'd love for you to help us do a few things around here. And one thing is, we'd love for you to help us sell a few things. We got a few things around here that we need to sell. And so I mentioned a few things. And y'all, this had been 4 months before, okay? And so he calls me one day in the midst of this bill that's due and says, hey, I got somebody that wants to buy your hot tub. And y'all are probably saying to yourself, why in the world does Eric have a hot tub? And I'm actually saying that. Why did I ever get this hot tub? Like, we sat in it one time. Why do we have this? And I had mentioned to him, man, if you can get rid of this thing, you can give it away. Just get it out of here. Literally, I wanted him to give it away if somebody would take it. Well, y'all, he sold that thing for $1,700. And I can tell you that's basically what my bill was. So God provided. And that was just another of the thousands of examples and of ways that He's provided over the years. Isn't He good? Doesn't He always provide? And then more importantly, more than our physical or our financial needs, God saves us, right? He saves us from eternal death, and He gives us eternal life. Think about Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So there's lots of other verses, like Romans 6:23, the one we use with our evangelism training. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, right? I mean, y'all, does anything else matter? Right? I mean, even our life, even our existence here on earth, in comparison, it's a drop. It's a drop in the bucket. It's a drop in the ocean compared. Our lifespan is like a drop in the ocean compared to eternity. And you know, the ocean is vast and limitless. And to know that our eternal destination is sure because of what Christ did for us, there's nothing else that matters. Let me move on. So let me just mention a couple of other provisions. God's provision in our salvation, God's provision in our life, God's provision in our justification, which is connected to our salvation, but He makes us holy. Right? We stand before the throne of God not wondering, not worrying about if we've done enough good to outweigh our bad. Right? For a whole year after I first heard the gospel and I asked God to forgive me of my sin, for a whole year in my life I struggled because I thought it still was up to me. I thought I had to earn God's favor. Right? And that wasn't true. God's justified us. And He's given us the perfect record of Christ. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused and laid the iniquities of us all upon Him. He paid that. Right? That what Jesus said on the cross, that tetelestai, it is finished. It's an accounting term. Right? The bill's been paid in full. Right? There's nothing, no other payment required. It's done. It's been paid in full. So we're justified, the promise of our justification before God. God's inseparable love, even in the midst of our trials. We're promised He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide the way out. Those are awesome promises. And then the victory, God's victory, right? What a great promise. That no matter what happens, you know, we could be burned at the stake. And I'm not so sure that that may not happen to us at some point. But it doesn't matter, right? We'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? We'll look, hey, God wants to save me from this. He will. But if He wants to save me through bringing me home to be with Him in heaven, He will. I trust God either way. And I think that's also what He means in Hebrews 12. In 11, He gives a great hall of faith, right? And then in 12, He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him, endure the cross, despising the shame, right? We have to fix our eyes on Jesus, right? And then, so the promise of our salvation. Let me skip a few pages ahead. Here we go. All right, the next promise that I want to focus on for the sake of time is a promise of God for hardships, right? So we've talked about two incredibly wonderful things. Now let's talk about the reality of suffering and trials in this life, right? And is that, y'all, I mean, we all know this. The Scripture shows how that's the case. That was true for all those that came before us. It was true for our Lord and Savior Himself. Why wouldn't it be true for us that we'll have trials and hardships in this life? We'll have suffering in this life. There's none of us that would stand up and say, well, I've never had any real hardships in life. I've never had any real trials. I mean, that's ridiculous. Of course you have. And now, it's good to not dwell there. It's good to not question that. But it's also not a bad thing to question it. I mean, I look in the Psalms and see how David, when he's under great trial and tribulation and difficulty, he just goes right to the Lord, right? I think the difference between David and myself is I tend to grumble like one of the Israelites. I tend to go, God, why? You know, why would you do this? Why would you allow this? And I complain. What does David do? He says, God, why is this happening? Why would you allow this to happen? Why would you allow this to happen? I question God. I tend to struggle with questioning God's character and allowing it to happen. David just asked why. And then at the end of those Psalms, he goes, but you're a good God, and I will trust in you. And I've seen you do it before, and I know I'm going to see you doing it again. I know I'm going to see you do it again. I think that's what we've got to do, gentlemen. I think we've got to, as we're going through the trials of life, the tribulations of life, it's not wrong to go to the Lord and say, why? It's just wrong when we complain and we question Him, right? Couple of passages, John 15, 18 through 19. Put these glasses on hardships and promises. It says, but turning and seeing His disciples, He rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to them, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, But whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So the key aspect that I want to focus on is, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's the promise that God's made for us. I promise you, you're going to go through trials and tribulation. I promise you, it's going to be hard and difficult. But I also promise you that I'm going to be there with you every step of the way. I also promise you the end is going to be great. Right? I don't know about you, but, you know, if a coach said, hey, and this happened to me, I played had the privilege to play football at Auburn. I know it doesn't look like it. I fully understand that. But I walked on many years ago. My first year was 1991, 92, 3, and 4. Actually, 2, 3, 4, 5 is when I played. But we had a coach, Wayne Hall, as our defense coordinator. He was amazing. Great guy. It's amazing how he could take the Lord's name in vain and cuss you out like you wouldn't believe. And I say that tongue-in-cheek, because he's become a Christian. He's a deacon at his church, and it's awesome to see what the Lord's done in his life. But at the time, he wasn't walking with the Lord. And boy, he would bite your head off. But we had a rule for all the linebackers that you had to go to class, and they would send people around to check and monitor. Now, for me, they didn't really check that much, right? I was a walk-on. But for the scholarship guys, man, they were going to make sure you were at class. And we had a couple of knuckleheads that missed a couple of classes. And so Coach Hall warned us beforehand, if you miss a class, that's 1 mile. And he tried to explain it to these guys. It's an exponential growth at that point. So then it goes to 2, and then 4, and then 8. Well, we got the news that we were going to have to be up at 5 o'clock and on the field the next morning, and we had to run 8 miles because this guy, I won't name names, had missed a couple of classes. And so, man, I'm like, you know, that's when I'm thankful that I was smaller and slimmer and all those good things. So we took off, and I said, man, I got to get this mess over with. So I think I lapped the guys twice, the rest of them. I was ready to knock it out. Why do I tell you that goofy story? He told us what we were going to have to do, 8 miles. But you know what was good and kind of him? At some point he stopped us. You know, I was on 4 or something, maybe 5. And he said, all right, y'all come on in. Reeve was the only one going to make this. Y'all aren't going to make this. But again, why do I say that? God's told us. This world is filled with pain and suffering. And he's also told us this isn't our home. And I don't know if y'all are like me, but I try to make this my home, right? He tells us you're ambassadors for me. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. What does an ambassador do? He leaves his home country, he goes to another, and he proclaims the goodness of his home country. He is an advocate for his home country, right? But ultimately, he will go back one day. And that's what we're called to do. We're here on earth to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. There's going to be trials and tribulations, pains and suffering, but he will bring us home. Right? Has he not said, has he not promised, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I will go and prepare for you, right? And that where I am, you may also be. I mean, that's our promise, men. Right? So look, we all know we're going to die. We all know that's going to be a hard, difficult process. But the promise of eternal life awaits. And death is the door that leads there. What a glorious promise. And we know about it now. We can be ready for it. We can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So some reasons why we suffer. It's not an exhaustive list. I think these are some good reasons to consider. We suffer to deny ourselves in order to exalt Christ. We suffer to follow Christ in His sufferings. We suffer to show our lives, show in our lives that we're saved. We suffer now, but we are saved for eternity. We suffer to show our sin and to discipline us. God shows us our sin and we've got consequences. He disciplines us. It's not eternal. Right? Pastor Reeder gives the illustration of somebody that gets drunk. They go out and drive and they have a crash. It's a terrible accident and their arm's ripped off. Then they sober up and they go to the Lord and the Lord forgives them. Right? And it's total forgiveness. Right? But their arm's still gone. There's consequences. And that's part of why we suffer, to show us our sin and to discipline us. And the Bible makes it clear, the Lord disciplines those He loves. Which meaning He doesn't discipline those He doesn't love. So it's for our good. He disciplines us or He puts us through suffering to build our faith and to equip us to comfort others who are going through similar difficulties. That's part of our suffering, right? All right, let me skip to our last and final promise that I'm just reminding us of. There's many more promises of God. And the last one is this. God promises to make us Christ-like. He promises to make us like Jesus. It's that sanctification. So through our trials and tribulations, through living here, through sanctification, through the finished work of justification, through the ongoing work of sanctification, He brings us to this place of glorification, right? He makes us like Christ through our lives, and then ultimately when we go to be with Him in glory. Pastor Reeder, I love this illustration he uses. I've stolen it, used it also. But, you know, there for me, and this was true, after I became a Christian, there were many sin that he wiped them out. He says it's like a microwave, man. It's quickly heated, it's gone, right? But then there's lots of sin and sin struggles and trials that it's a crock pot. It's a slow process. So God promises to make us more and more like Christ. The promise of God is for sure. He's a promise keeper. The promise of God for our salvation, He's a promise Savior. The promise of God for sanctification, He's a promise teacher. And then you have the promise of God for success. Right? I mean, it may not look like success. Right? 11 of the 12 apostles, martyrs' death, church history tells us. Awful. But they're with Him in heaven now for all eternity. And that, again, that's what we've got to keep our eyes fixed on, that promise and on the person of Christ. The one sentence that may sound like this, God's promises are for sure. He has saved us. He teaches us through trials and tribulations, yet He will never leave us or forsake us. So praise God for His wonderful and glorious promises. I pray that you're reminded in the midst of the trials that you're going through, or in the midst of maybe it's the trials that somebody else is going through and you need to point them to Christ, right? I'll tell you about a guy that, and I'll conclude with this, a couple of weeks ago, and let me time out real quick. Please, men, I just want to encourage you, anybody that can, consider coming and being a part of our evangelism on Wednesday nights. I know you're busy. I know you have a lot going on. I know maybe evangelism may not feel like a strength in your life, and that intimidates you. It certainly does me. I'm over evangelism. Probably shouldn't intimidate me, but it does. come. Come join us. Go out with us. We've got 30 to 40 people that are going out on Wednesday nights, and I promise you every one of them would say the same thing. It's intimidating. I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like coming up here on Wednesday nights. I don't want to go out. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to go up to random strangers and talk to them about the Lord. They come back after we're done, and it's like they came off of the Mount of Transfiguration. They're glowing. They're like, man, you wouldn't believe what happened. This was amazing. This happened. This happened. This happened. Why is it that way? The devil doesn't want us to do what we're doing. And yet when we're faithful, God's good and He blesses. And we get to see extravagant things happen. So let me tell you about one guy. I am with two ladies. We pair up into teams. We always like to have a lady on our team because we don't want to scare folks off. So we're standing on the sidewalk at UAB, and it's me and these two ladies, and I'm leading the way. I'm going to have the conversation. I'm going to interact with somebody. So we attempt to stop a couple of people, and what we do is we have a religious survey, and we'll say, hey, Sam, or sir, you know, would you mind, we have this religious survey, would you mind if we take just a couple of minutes and ask you a couple of questions? Most people say yes. A lot of times they'll say, hey, I'm late for class. Well, yeah, of course, no problem. Thank you. But this gentleman, his name was Tony. Tony said, yes, I got a couple of minutes. I said, well, thank you, Tony. Asked him the questions. He didn't know for sure that he was going to heaven. And so I said, can I share with you one verse from the Bible that explains how you can know for certain that you go to heaven when you die? He said, sure. This guy, big gentleman from Huffman, played defensive line. We talked to him afterwards for a while. His name's Tony. And you know what? As we were going through, everything seemed to make sense to him. He was very intentional. He would look you in the eyes. And he would say, yeah, okay, that makes sense. We got to the end, and y'all, I'm just like anybody. Whenever I ask somebody, I'm always sort of hesitant. I said to him, I said, Tony, is there any reason why you wouldn't want to receive this free gift? And Tony said, no, there's not any reason. I said, really? I mean, because that's just kind of how I felt. I said, really? He said, no, yeah. I want to receive that gift. I said, well, man, that's awesome. Let's tell God. I said, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you, but let's just speak to God, and I'm going to lead you, and you can just pray after me. And sure enough, out loud, Tony prayed the sinner's prayer, asked God to forgive him of his sin, come into his life as his Lord and Savior. It was awesome, you know? And what was one of the things that was so sweet at the end of that was there's the Asian lady that was with us, Jessie Lin. She's from China. And Jessie looked at him, and she's just a little thing, and Tony's a big old fella. And she said, Tony, can I give you a hug? He said, yes, ma'am. And so they're like hugging, you know, and it was just so sweet to see the sort of the embrace of the Lord that was in Jessie toward Tony. It's just awesome. God was good. So I just want to encourage you with your faith, you know, with what we're trusting in, the promises of God, and ultimately that eternal promise that He gives us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Celebrate that in your life. Remind yourself of these promises that He's kept and that He's going to keep in our life. And let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank You for our time just to reflect on Your goodness and Your love and Your mercy and the fact that You make promises to us, Lord, the fact that You are God and You have the capacity and the capabilities to keep Your promises that You make to us and the reality that You've made an eternal promise and You give us eternal life simply by receiving the free gift that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, and that He loves us that much, that He would die for us in order to make a way for us to be with You for all eternity in heaven. And though we face trials and tribulations, God, our promise is secure. Your promise is secure. You're going to keep it. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you for making us more like Christ. Help us to share the promises of Christ. And God, we rejoice in one day, though it seems like a long time away, but one day we'll be with you forever in heaven. And your promises will be experienced. So we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for this food. Thank you for providing it. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.